Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
How fun is this today? We are live from the Men's Summit we have here in Cornersville, North Carolina. So if you're anywhere in the area, we've still got plenty of time for you to come join us. There's going to be a lunch served here at 12, and I think it goes on till 3 o'clock. We are, if you're wanting to put it in your GPS, at 1130 North Main Street in Cornersville, North Carolina. Zip code is 27284, and we have heard from several of the speakers on the Christian Car Guy show. But I want to remind you who all's coming if you hadn't heard that show. Nikita Koloff, Benji Kelly, Tim Worley, Dave Reaver, and Pastor Michael Thomas with Love and Faith. And speaking of Pastor Michael Thomas with Love and Faith, we have Jerome here, who is Jerome Good, who's with the men ministry there at Love and Faith. And so you've had a chance to do this a few years, and tell us about your ministry a little bit, how God put that on your heart. You said you've been doing it for 20-some-odd years?
Well, no, I've been in Love and Faith as a member for 24 years. And I've been over the men's ministry for the last 3 years. So God just put a passion on my heart to start cultivating males into men. Because that was something that was missing in the body of Christ. So that's where he has led me to work with men and the young men.
Well, there you go. And we want to give you a chance to win today on Kingdom Pursuits. So speaking of men, most men in restrooms are stand-up guys. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, Rachel, but they really are.
Should be.
And men are like steel because they tend to get weaker when they lose their temper.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever thought about that? Or too much light and you have to call in the drapery men, Kurt and Rod. Well, we have to say at least one groaner in there, you know, in order to make it all work. Usually I like my music, but it's okay.
Okay.
When Jesus's men went fishing, here comes the actual question, if you can call in today and guess this. When Jesus's men went fishing after the resurrection and thought they saw Jesus on the beach, what was the catch? If you can answer that, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Keith, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win a prize from our Christian Kai Guy, Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
There you go, a prize from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault. All you have to do is call in and tell us when Jesus' men went fishing after the resurrection and thought they saw Jesus on the beach. What was the catch? 866-348-7884. So getting back to Jerome, we're here live again at the Men's Summit in Kernersville. So Jerome, tell us about your own faith walk. How did God turn you into a man, so to speak?
Well, I grew up with a World War II vet who thought that me and my brother was little Marine candidates.
Okay.
So left home at 17, joined the U.S. Army.
Did you really? So your father was a Marine?
Yes, sir.
What did he think about you joining the Army?
Well, I see how he turned out, so I left and went to the Army. And stayed in there 13 years, got out, and gave my life to Christ, but then I was seeking directions on how to be a man. I knew what we done in the world as far as what we called being a man. But understanding true love, the agape love, didn't have a clue about that. I only knew Eros love. And so got and started just asking guys, can you give me some tips or pointers on how to be a godly man? And got the same response. Pray. And got revelation later on that they didn't know. So that was a good church answer. So we just started studying the word and going to classes, seeing different organizations out there, and just connected. And decided to put it all together. We do a program called Nobleman's Workshop. and that's cultivating males into men. So to show you how to make godly decisions, but they got to have the information to make the decision.
Right.
So society think just because your stand-up guy is a man because of his plumbing.
Right.
He's just a male. But what makes him a man is by the decisions that he makes. So that goes back to the information. Most males don't even know their roots. So if you don't understand your roots, then you don't understand the fruits that you're supposed to bear.
There you go.
So we go back and start digging in the roots. So we kind of get the guys to purge themselves, then fill them and move them to the next level.
Is there a scripture that grabbed you in there that really helped speak to that in your life?
No, sir, it's a variety of scriptures. The one that sticks out most to me is when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So that's where I had to get to the point. If you notice, most males, whatever the best time of their life was, high school, college, military, whatever, that's where they stopped growing at. And everything, the same haircut, the same style of clothes, everything is still the same from that era because that was the best time of their lives. But as they getting to be in Christ, they old things are passed away. Now they got to learn some new stuff. And that's where we come in at to try to teach them some new things.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, we have several Riddlers on the line. We have Orlando is in High Point. Orlando, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Raleigh?
I'm having fun out here at the Men's Summit. I wish you were here with me.
I had to work.
I understand. Me too. So, Orlando, what was the catch when they went fishing out there and after the resurrection they thought they saw Jesus on the beach? What was the catch?
Well, I think they went to Jesus at the beach. And I think it was 153 fish that they caught.
You're exactly right. It was 153, which I've heard said. I have not done the research myself, but I once interviewed a man who was Hebrew and he lived on the Sea of Galilee, and he said that there were 153 species of fish that live in that particular area. And guess what? They caught one everything. I find that interesting. But that's a great answer, Orlando. God bless you. Thank you. You're a winner.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, we got Jim is in Charlotte. Jim must have had the same 153. I guess we knew the catch. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, you know, there tends to be a catch about things.
Yes, sir.
Jerome. And so how long were you in the Army?
I was in the Army 13 years.
Wow, that's a long time. And where were you stationed?
Germany, Fort Bragg, National Training Center in California.
And then did you get married in the service or afterwards, or are you still?
No, sir, I got married afterwards.
And so do you have children yourself?
Yes, sir, I have one young man. He's 20 years old, Kobe Jerome.
And, oh. Did Kobe go into the Army or the Marines?
No. We're still working on them. Still working on them.
So, yeah, that's an interesting thing. And don't you wish, I know I wish, you know, I have a 29-year-old son and a couple of daughters that I'd known, you know, when he was younger, some of the things that God's taught me about manhood later on. Because, you know, that's just a journey.
Yes, sir. And with society trying to dictate what a man is totally different than what God says.
Well, thank you, Jerome, for being with us. We got so many more of these guests coming up from the Men's Summit. We're live again in Kernersville on North Main Street, 27284. If you're putting that in your GPS, you still got plenty of time to come out here and join us again. It's actually the fifth annual Men's Summit here at First Christian Church in Kernersville. Come join us. is your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today we are live from the Triad Area Men's Summit, which is in here at, is here at the First Christian Church in Cornersville. If you need to put that in your GPS, wherever you are in North Carolina today, it'll be worth the trip. We're going to be going till 3 o'clock, and there's a free lunch involved. 27284 is the zip code, and boy, do we have a treat for you in this segment. We have, if you were listening to the Christian Car Guy show, you heard Tim Worley's story a little bit, and a professional football player, and certainly played at Georgia and all that, but how fun. We get to actually talk to his wife in this segment, Dee Worley. And Dee, how wonderful to have you. And I understand from Roy that you have a real passion for this men's ministry.
I do. First, I want to thank you for having me on. And it's so weird hearing myself talk right now. I do. And it's primarily because of my marriage. You know, Tim and I don't know how much he told you about our story, but we met 30 years ago. And we dated for 3 years and change. And then we unfortunately broke up, and we broke up for 18 years.
Really?
Got back together in 2009 and got married in 2010. So our marriage should be around 25 years old, but it's only 8 years old. So, but my passion for his passion for men's ministry was born from the real reason that we split up in the first place, which was because, you know, when he was playing in the NFL, he, through ignorance, allowed some outside forces to influence him and infiltrate our relationship, and strange spirits. And
that's interesting, because he said something very similar. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there was an 8-year period of time, I think he said, that he really was really struggling with anger and some other things. Mm-hmm. In there.
Yes. Well, we were apart for 18 years, and those 8 years he's talking about were the 8 years toward the latter part of that time. But in the beginning, after we broke up in 1991, and when we split, there was, he just was really lost, and I was looking to him to sort of be the replacement of what I didn't get from my dad. And I was looking for him to step in and fill kind of the void that I didn't get from my dad. And he was looking for the same thing. And so we were both kind of looking for,
right,
for a father's love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, me too.
And it wasn't until we really yielded and submitted to the Lord that we knew that the hole that we had in our hearts was a God-shaped hole. It was not a Tim-shaped hole or a D-shaped hole or an NFL-shaped hole or whatever. You know, my thing was climbing the corporate ladder, and the hole was not shaped that way. It was shaped like Jesus. And so once we figured all of that out, and, you know, we haven't arrived, but we've left, that's when God reconnected us. So it took 18 years for us to get right.
Sounds like it would make a great movie. It really does.
Maybe an after school special, like one of those cautionary tales.
No, I think if we could climb into everybody's story, that there was this lostness and there was this horrible mistakes and horrible choices that we made that led to all sorts of pain in our families and whatever. But God apparently redeemed that for you guys.
Yes. We let him
bring hope for many.
Yes. I mean, he wants to redeem it for everybody. Anybody who's got any brokenness in any area of their lives, he wants to redeem it, but we have to let him. We have to say yes. And it took Tim a long time to say yes. It took me a long time to say yes, you know, in our different respective ways that we were saying no. And but once we did, boy, oh boy, you know, I mean, that was when God was like, okay, now I can get them on the potter's wheel. Now I can really mold and shape them like I want to. And so my passion for men's ministry is born from the fact that him not understanding what manhood looked like, what being a man of God looked like, what being a boyfriend, courting a girl, and then eventually a husband, you know, leading and being the priest of our home. Him not knowing that when we split up is why, and me not understanding not to let strange spirits into my relationship, right?
Yeah.
So the predatory people who wanted to infiltrate, I didn't have the spiritual development at the time, at 19 years old, I didn't have the spiritual development at the time to understand, get thee behind me, Satan. But now I do.
Well,
now
yeah,
I
but
do.
You were placed on a stage that not many people have to deal with those temptations. And
Not on that level. Yeah, it's very different. As you know, dating a professional athlete is it's not for the weak. It's not. It's definitely not. And being married to one isn't either. It's you have to have a different kind of an understanding about what covenant means, and what to become one means. And
well, share that with somebody who may be struggling there. What that means on your side of it. Of the fence.
Well, for us, it means that we have protective guardrails around our marriage. We have certain things that we just don't violate, period. For instance, now that we know that, you know, there is a propensity for people to be drawn to my husband because of what he did and because of what he does now, which is he's a leadership development consultant and a professional speaker. So people are just naturally drawn to him. He's like the Pied Piper.
Oh, I mean, sure.
He's just kind of draws people to him. And that's wonderful, but it still has to have checks and balances. So as a result, you know, when he takes pictures with people, with fans or whatever the case may be, he doesn't take pictures alone with females. There's another man in the photo, or I'm in the photo. He doesn't minister to women. You know, there's just certain guardrails that we have in our marriage that are just non-negotiables, and that's what we call them. These are non-negotiables. So I have a passion for men understanding their place in the kingdom, not just in marriage, not just in life, but in the kingdom. And it's and when they're
it
married,
sounds like you should be on my show.
Hello world. But it's, you know, there's a connectedness. I remember one time when Tim and I first got married, we were about to get into an argument about something. It was, you know, the precipice of an argument, and I said, will you please get in line with the Holy Spirit so I can get in line with you? And he just went, it was like a wire in his brain just went zoop, and he got it. I mean, he caught that word real quick. And that's how it works. When the man is aligned with the Holy Spirit, when the man is saying, yes, Lord, the woman says, I will follow you anywhere. Whatever, if you're listening to God, I'm listening to you. And that's how it works. And am I a feminist? Absolutely not. I am a kingdom girl. I'm a kingdom girl, and I adhere and yield to God's divine right order in marriage. And I did not grow up saying that, and neither did Tim, but we're quick studies. So,
can you take us back kind of where the fog kind of was lifting for you? I'm sure it was a very painful place that, you know, when God puts us on the anvil and kind of just like, oh my gosh, I just don't know where to go, where to turn. And can you take us back there and kind of share with us what those moments look like when he came back in and started to come through the fog?
Well, for me, it's interesting that you use the word fog, because I call the whole time that Tim and I were apart the fog years. He was in his fog, I was in my fog. We were in two completely different places, you know, geographically. I was in Los Angeles, and I had been Los Angeles, and I had been living there 11 years, and
I've lived there. It is Los Angeles. Los Angeles.
You know what I'm talking about. But it doesn't have to be. That still belongs to God.
Right,
LA
right,
belongs to God too.
Sure it does.
But I had really hit a wall of the inevitable wall of keeping up with the Joneses. And so I had been climbing corporate ladder, no job satisfied, every promotion, I was happy for 2 minutes, and it was always, what's next, what's next, what's next? I had to be in a certain zip code, I had, you know, the whole thing. That was my God. My God was succeeding and
right.
winning. And at the same time, I had very toxic relationships going on. I ended up getting married before Tim and I reconnected for about 45 minutes. It was fine guy. He was fine. It was me. I had put God in the back seat. I was the spiritual head in that relationship. Wrong. And I didn't know anything about, I'm a recovering Episcopalian, so I didn't know anything about, I didn't know anything about divine right order.
Right, right.
I didn't know anything about kingdom, but my spirit knew. And finally God, he had been tapping me on the shoulder the entire time I was in LA, but one day I stopped brushing his hand off and I fell to my knees. Literally and figuratively, and I said, I'm not well. I'm not well spiritually. I'm sick. Something's wrong. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't, again, recover an Episcopalian. I didn't know the vernacular and how to articulate it, but I knew I wasn't, I knew had I that my relationship with God was estranged, and it wasn't him that left. It was me. And by that time, Tim and I had reconnected, and he asked me within the first, we hadn't spoken in 15 years, and within the first 5 minutes of our first conversation in 15 years, he said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Why are you lukewarm for the Lord?"
Woo.
Boom. And that was it. That was what the scales literally fell from my eyes. And from that moment, and then he said, "Have you ever heard of Ron Carpenter? Have you ever heard of T.D. Jakes? Have you ever heard of Creflo Dollar? Have you heard of Andrew Womack?" And I said, "Of course not. I'm Episcopalian. I don't know those people. I don't listen to people who scream. Do they scream? Are they screamers?"
But I don't, you know, unfortunately, we got to go to break. I hope I can get you for the next segment. But I don't want anybody to miss something that I'm hearing. Is that when God puts people together, couples, they bring out the best in each other.
Yes.
And it's so clear to me how you're, you know, how Tim brought out the best in you, but clearly now you're bringing out the best in him. He made, you know, he made mention of several of the things that you're talking about. And so I think it's fascinating and something for us all to look at of how can I make my wife better? How can I make my husband more of a kingdom girl, more of a kingdom guy? It's a really interesting challenge. I hope you'll stay on with us.
Sure.
We'll be right back with much more live from the Men's Summit here in Kernersville, North Carolina. You got time to be out here and join us for lunch in Kernersville, 27284. You put that in your GPS, and we'll see you out here shortly. Thanks for listening. Takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And if you don't hear that in D. Worley, you don't have listening. D, for those of you who are just tuning in, is married to Tim Worley, former NFL player. He played with the Steelers, he played with the Bears, he played at the University of Georgia. And what a wonderful opportunity to kind of see, you know, what a relationship looks like behind that. And I am just blown away, personally, that 18 years estranged and then come back together and you know, God redeems that time and then helps you grow close to the Lord through that. And now you're back out of Los Angeles and in Charlotte. Was he living in Charlotte at the time when you guys reconnected?
No, he was in Atlanta. And I had actually lived in Atlanta right after college. And when, just to segue just for a little bit, when Tim and I were together before, he and myself and my mom were kind of like the three musketeers. And I was also very close with his mom, who his both of his parents are still alive in Lumberton, James and Nettie Pearl. And when Tim and I broke up, well, before we broke up, and this really is when I really got my first real understanding of kingdom, divine connection, and ordination, what God has ordained. We met when I was a senior in high school, and he said we started dating, and then the Georgia Florida game was in Jacksonville every year, and my mom and I were living in Orlando at the time. I was training for the 88 Olympic Games, and
you were training for the 88 Olympic Games. Okay, so we take it. You're an athlete as well.
I was a gymnast, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and then my collegiate career was at Alabama.
So I didn't want to interrupt, but no, I couldn't let that go. What the world?
Let's try to slip that in there. But my mom and I traveled to Jacksonville for the ball game, and he said, "Come the night before because I want to give you your birthday present." It fell on my birthday weekend. And we went to the hotel. He said, "I got team meetings until such and such a time, and then curfew at such and such a time. So meet me in that window. Y'all come on to the hotel, and I'm gonna give you your birthday present." So we meet up at the hotel. We're going. My mom and I are going with Tim up to his room. And you know, there's a lot of foot traffic the night before a ball game. The players are in and out of each other's rooms and all that. And we're walking into the threshold of his room, and he said, "Oh, babe, I want you to meet Doc. He's going to be my agent." Well, first of all, he was still in college, and he shouldn't even had a potential agent in the room with him anyway. That was illegal, but whatever. So we were walking in, and I lifted my head up, and Tim said I turned gray. all of the blood drained out of my face. And I turned gray and I just pointed at the man and I said, "Not him, Timmy. Not him, Timmy." Now, again, at the time, I was not a recovering Episcopalian. I was all up in it. I was an Episcopalian. And so I didn't have the spiritual development and wherewithal at the time to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But I knew I was looking straight in Satan's face. I knew it. And that was my first lesson. I didn't know it at the time. But now, in retrospect, I know that was my first lesson in what it means to be the rib. That was my first real teaching in what it means to be equally yoked and to be somebody's rib, to be his rib. I knew that man meant him harm. I knew it. And lo and behold, from that, and you know, spirits spot each other. So when he saw that I spotted him in the spirit, and I did, and he said, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you?"
Yeah.
And I didn't have an answer at the time. I just had "Not him, Timmy" at the time. I was an 18-year-old kid. And
how old was Tim?
He was a junior in college.
Okay.
And so we're both just couldn't be as, you know, more wet behind the ears and green. Neither one of us knew what we were doing, and especially in the spirit realm. But that foul spirit saw me, and he saw that he had been found out. And from that moment on, that man went on a campaign against me in Tim's ear. "She's too young. You don't need to be tied down to one person." And every single time he was around Tim, he made sure two things were in tow: women and cocaine. Every single time. And he became his agent, and he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from Tim, set him up to have more hundreds of thousands of dollars to be sold, took out property in his name illegal. I mean, it was a mess. You talk about a bad after-school special. That was it. And it was literally, I mean, one domino after another that fell because he didn't heed my warning. And I didn't even know to tell him to heed the warning. I just knew "Not him, Timmy." So that's there. It's a powerful, powerful thing.
Of
being
learning to be the rib.
Yes.
Of spotting things.
Oh, yes.
Again, like your husband looked out for you. Why
yes.
are you lukewarm? You know, he's
yes.
at this point in time, you're saying, "Not you, Timmy." But also, now you got me even more fascinated. So you trained for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Did you make it?
I made it to the 88 Olympic trials. And unfortunately, 2 weeks before Olympic trials, I tore all the ligaments in my ankle. I was ranked 6th in the country and 9th in the world. And I blew my ankle out, and that was it. And so I had to take a year off from the sport to rehab. And my ankle, I had to catch up in high school because I was behind in high school because I'd been training, you know, 10, 12 hours a day. And so I got caught back up with school, graduated from high school on time, and signed my letter of intent with the University of Alabama. Roll Tide.
There you go. But, you know, I can't help but note that that desire to compete, right? Something mm-hmm. that was that fire.
Oh, yes.
That was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you took into the corporate world. But God was grooming you for now this new passion that he's given you and your husband an opportunity to be his rib in these type of situations.
Absolutely.
And so.
And he gave me a marketing background, too, to be able to minister the skills that I've developed over the last 20 years from a, you know, marketing and public relations perspective, and I'm a writer as well, so I'm ghostwriting his memoir. Yeah. Yeah, so he's using those 20 years, even though the devil tried to pervert it and have me be, you know, have my God be my skill set.
Right.
We flipped it. Like our pastor right now is teaching a series called Flip the Flow. God flipped the flow. But I had to say yes. I had to say yes. And so he's flipped the flow, and now what the enemy meant for harm, which was my skill set, and me worshiping my skill set, it's now benefiting my husband and whoever else, you know, wants to retain my services. But that's how that works now.
Well, yeah, as a publicist, you know, this is a, believe me, I understand the level that some may not, the kind of shenanigans that are involved in your line of work.
Especially in the entertainment industry in L.A. I mean, I worked for a billion-dollar brand. I worked for the Mary-Kate and Ashley brand. I don't know if you know who Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are, but they had a billion-buck brand. It grossed a billion its first year in launch, and I was in there at the ground level of that brand launch, and unbelievably valuable experience. I learned so much. I got bitten by the branding bug. It was, you know, very, very good experience, but there was also some things that I saw that, you know, from a an P people who are willing to compromise, compromise integrity, compromise ethics, morals, and, you know, whatever else. You lived in L.A., you know, and it's, I mean, it's like nothing compromising it. And the more, the after the first time you do it, it gets easier and easier and easier to do. Before you know it, you are dull spiritually.
Right.
I mean, you're dull.
You're the frog in the hot water.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So that's what happened to me.
And there you have, you know, where God redeemed, you know, that kind of as well. And it's fascinating to me that now you're in this situation where, you know, different ministries are obviously coming to you. And for those who don't know, you know, there's a lot of strange spirits out there in the ministry.
Oh, the strangest of all.
Yeah, because
I mean, at least in the world, they don't try to hide. In ministry, they try to hide.
Oh, yeah, because the spirit of religion is alive and well. The one that was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees
exactly
and all
that
is totally ingrained.
That's exactly right.
And because, you know, this is where the battle line is.
Mm-hmm.
It's right here.
It's between the kingdom and religion.
Right.
It's not good and evil anymore. It's the kingdom and religion now. Yeah. 100%.
And so, you know, it's fascinating to me that you and when you say you're recovering Episcopal, you know, I'm sure that's part of what you feel.
Oh yes, absolutely. I had to unlearn and see when you if you're just a raw ball of clay, God can really work with that. But when you have stuff that has to be taken out first and you've got, you know, twigs and sticks and this and that, you know, and you have to unlearn things, that's a different process, and I had to go through a process of unlearning. I had to go through a process of even understanding how to praise. I didn't know how to praise. I didn't know how to worship. I thought there was a way that was correct, and I'm very linear thinker, and legalism was alive and well in me. I mean, that was my hardest thing to overcome was legalism, and I didn't even know what that meant. We don't say legalism in the Episcopal Church. We don't say that. So I didn't know. You know, it's the Book of Common Prayer. That's all you just stay right there and read a dead hymnal. I mean, sing a dead hymnal. You know, that's all you do. But it was not, and I'm not knocking the Episcopal faith because it served me well as a child. It did. It was the denomination that my mom restored her relationship with Christ in. He used it.
Of course.
But after milk is what? Meat. And I hit a wall with that milk, and I had to get on to meat. So once I hit, you can't, you know, Andrew Womack says it all the time. He said, you're too late. You're too late to tell me something else. I already know the truth now. So once I heard the truth, that was a game changer for me. And I just have not been able to, I literally, it's like a stench. Or it's like my ears want to bleed when I hear something that's not the truth. I can spot it a mile away.
Yeah, and, you know, I think about the time when, you know, I didn't come to the Lord until I was in my early 40s. And, of course, I jumped right in, you know, trying to find out everything. And there were plenty of those spirits waking on me to say, oh, we're going to teach Robbie about this, you know, and this has to be done this way. And you need to hide this. And yeah, there's plenty of that.
Yes.
And so it's kind of amazing to me that, again, God has cleared the way for you guys to be here at the Men's Summit. It's here at First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street. We'd love to see you up here. Tim, is he still yet to speak?
Yes, he speaks at around 1:30.
Oh, you got plenty of time to come here, Tim. And we got so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today we are live from the Triad Area Men's Summit. It's been quite a journey as we've been here through the Christian Car Guy Show and Kingdom Pursuits. Nikita Koloff is here, Benji Kelly, Tim Worley, Dave Reaver, Pastor Michael Thomas. We just heard for a couple segments Dee Worley, which is Tim Worley's wife. I had no idea she was a gymnast of almost, you know, went to the Olympics on that. Did you know that?
I did not.
That was pretty exciting. But now we've saved the best for last. We have Chris Klein, which, you know, I love this part of this show is to get people that have never been on the radio before an opportunity to share how God has taken something in their life. They never would have dreamed that they'd be on this adventure, but they just said, like it says on that sign, here I am, send me, Lord. And so Chris was one of those. He's a volunteer out here at the Men's Summit. And so, Chris, tell us your role with the TAWM. You know better than I do.
Yeah, Talcum. Well, I met Roy a few years ago. We were introduced, and he said, hey, listen, I need a few good guys to help serve in any capacity that I need them to. So I stepped up. And I've been, I think this is the fourth Men's Summit that I've been part of. And since then, Roy and I have gotten to be a lot closer. He's asked me to be part of his board to help with some of the operations for future summits. And so I've enjoyed the last 4 years being part of this.
And so, Chris, your own faith journey, did you come to the Lord as a young man or later on in life? What was that like?
Fairly young. I was in... I was 15 years old, and I think I was either in 8th grade or 9th grade. I can't remember what grade it was, but I had a best friend growing up. His name's Brett, and always involved with his family, and I was never brought up really in church except when I was very, very young, and then our family just wasn't really involved. But there was something about him and that was different with his family, and... I joined, it was called Royal Rangers. It's kind of like the Boy Scouts, but it was in the Pentecostal church at the time. And I was at a powwow, is what they called it, one night. And they had a invitation, big bonfire event. And several boys gave their heart to the Lord at that time. And I just didn't know what to do. And we went back and we were talking in the tents. And I was saying, Brett, you know, I feel like I missed an opportunity. He said, well, Chris, you know, it's never too late. So I pulled him out and our commander, Boy Scout type commander, and said, you know, I think I missed an opportunity tonight. And if it's not too late, I'd like to give my heart to the Lord. And it was that night that back in 1987. And
well, listen to the courage of that. You know, it's one thing to stand up when everybody else is standing up, but to say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to be left out. You know, that's outstanding. It really is that God put that on your heart that strong at that point in time. And so was your faith really real to you, like, right through that? Or did you, like many of us, kind of fade away and then come back stronger?
Well, I think initially, you know, I was, you know, on fire, you know, wanting to do anything and everything. And then, you know, life happens in high school and, you know, always, you know, love the Lord, but... you know, kind of backslid at times and went away to college and enjoyed the college life. Wound up, after I graduated, married a Baptist pastor's daughter.
No.
So I thought, listen, I've had my fun. It's time to get serious. I didn't want to disappoint him and, of course, didn't want to disappoint the Lord. But stayed active in church all through school and now I serve in several capacities at my local church.
So are you still at his church?
No, he, as pastors move around, he took a church up in the mountains, and my family was here and had a job here. But since then, he's moved back, and he's had a few local churches, been interim work. But I've remained, you know, serving in my local church.
As you started to serve in your local church,
mm-hmm.
can you think of a story or remember a time when you know, man, I don't know if I should teach Sunday. I mean, I'm not your guy here, or whatever it is that they gave you to do, like, oh my goodness. But then all of a sudden, you saw something that God did through your ministry, and you went, oh, okay, God, that's why you have me here.
Yeah, I think I've questioned that a lot, you know, as even coming on the show. You know, I'm not the guy for you. You know, you never feel equipped. You know, I think they say what God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Right.
So I think one thing that I've discovered with my walk is I enjoy serving others. And, you know, I don't want to be out in the forefront. I really don't. I'd rather be in the backs, back ways. But if simple chores, you know, when there's an event, you know, just going and taking initiative, go get the trash. You know, somebody's got to do it. Just doing little things. If you see somebody, hey, mention, man, I'd love a glass of water. Just to kind of be accessible and help them anyway to make it more comfortable for them. So I usher at our church. We have a huge event every year, a sportsman's banquet. We have 1,000 men that come, and I just enjoy serving others.
Which church is it?
It's Life Community Church. It's on Wendover Avenue in Greensboro, Jamestown area.
Right.
And we've been doing it, I believe it's 16 years now. And every year it just gets bigger and bigger, and I just enjoy
that. So aspect. How did the connection then happen between you and Roy?
Actually, I was invited to one of the summits over at Shady Grove when it used to be at that site through my local Sunday school teacher. He said, "Chris, hey, there's a men's event." He brought several of us from the church, and then connected Roy at that point. And then he saw that our event with the Sportsman's Banquet, how active and how it was promoted, and how we were seeing, you know, 70, 80 men get saved every year, and said, "Hey, I'd like for you to kind of be involved and help us, you know, with that." So we developed a friendship, and here we are.
And here you are. You know, I guess this is probably 4 years later, right, for you?
It is. It is.
And so do you have a family? You have?
I do. I have my wife, Stephanie, and we have a daughter, Lily. We've just transferred her off to college. So we're empty nesters, and we're learning life as empty nesters now. But she was saved at a young age. She's never given us a bit of trouble, and she's a daddy's girl, and we're extremely tight, very proud of her.
Where is she at college?
UNC Charlotte.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So we live North High Point, and my wife works for a local doctor, Greensboro.
And so in this men's summit, as you get a chance to hear these different speakers, what is there been a message that maybe it was last year with Tony Evans, or a message to just – you know, resonated with you like, "Oh, man, I wish I'd have known that 10 years ago."
Yeah, I think you pick up little bits and pieces from every speaker. And it's good to see men that are willing to kind of be humble and drop their guard and show their emotions. And you don't see that a lot. Men kind of withhold and, you know, try to be bold and proud. And I think in this environment, to see other men crying and hugging and showing emotion and making decisions for the Lord, I think, you know, different speakers bring different things out in people. But last year, you know, I grew up as a wrestling fan. So Nikita and Lex Luger, you know, those were guys that I grew up in that arena. And just to see their walk and their story of how they came to know the Lord through being in the wrestling industry, it's just been a lot of fun to meet and see a lot of these pastors every year.
Yeah, and doesn't it blow your mind? It does mine. That here you got a guy like Nikita Koloff. I mean, but he couldn't be a more regular guy.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't talk to a more friendlier, you know, like interested in you person.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is obviously, but when you have a chance to meet these guys, or Tim Worley, which, or his wife, which was just here.
Right.
I mean, they're just absolutely real people with a real story. Or if you had a chance to talk to Dave Reaver, who was blown up, you know, or lost his face and all.
Yeah, he's speaking now, and I had to go get him for the for your segment. And just a genuine guy. I mean, just very willing to do whatever, just very accommodating, just a sweet spirit about him. I read his bio, but I've been out here kind of manning the booths and checking on folks. So I hope they are taping it this year again so I can see the DVD, but just extraordinary individual.
Oh, I'm it's absolutely mind-blowing. That, I mean, here a phosphorus grenade blows off 6 inches from his face.
Yeah.
And he's here to talk about it and leads, you know, other vets to a point of hope when, you know, they're facing hopelessness. And through his relationship with God,
yeah,
you know, is totally given him a platform unlike, you know, anything that you could ever see. And so, you know, I'm again, just kind of honored and blessed to see what God is doing right here in Kernersville.
Yeah.
At this men's summit.
Well, I think too, the caliber of speakers that we have every year, you know, it's somebody for everybody. So we've seen a lot of military folks coming through with their hats, their colors. And I think with those that are struggling with PTSD and some of those things, to hear a man like this get up and speak and share, I think it's going to really do a lot of good for their heart.
Yeah, again, you got plenty of time. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock. We are at the Triad Area Men's Wide Summit, the 5th annual, which is at the First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street, 27284. Chris, it's been just a joy to have you on today.
Thanks so much.
And we're hoping you'll come out and join us. If not, you can still hear all kinds of truth coming at you on the Truth Network. The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed at 12:30 by Disciple Magazine. Thank you for listening. It's always such a pleasure to be with you here on the Truth Network.